If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is that time of the week. It is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And this month, of course, last over the weekend, we celebrated Women's Day. And this month is all about women and celebrating women. I have a slight confession to make, though, is that I feel like Women's Day completely passed me this year. And it's really embarrassing. I don't know if it was because it was on a Saturday or what was happening, but honestly, I was already good into Saturday. And then someone told me Happy Women's Day. And then I was like, oh yeah, it's Women's Day. And I was like completely like, how embarrassing that I completely missed it. But instead of sulking about it and worrying about it, I realized it's a whole month of celebration of women. We should always celebrate women. And the fact that it's not even just about celebrating women, it's really about remembering that there was a lot of women before us who had to make a lot of sacrifices for us to be able to have certain rights and certain things happening for us. But part of being a woman is multitasking. So inevitably, again, like I said, I embraced it and I just realized, you know what? Sometimes you're in a season where you're going to miss things, and that's also okay. That's part of being a woman, and I'm okay with it. So I'm embracing it. But on that note, today's show, we are celebrating and we are embracing womanhood, and we're talking about a topic that needs more discussion and a lot more research, I feel. We're talking about women's health in general and the questions that we sometimes don't feel like answering, the things that we've heard about, but we don't know what it is about. And I am an expert in this field, I feel, because I have all the parts that we're going to be talking about. So I feel like I am a slight expert, but joining me again, and he has been on the show before, is my expert guest. He's an endoscopic surgeon. I feel like that already gives him like extra credit. Dr. Tatu Mahoto. Thank you so much, Dr. Tatu, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. And I definitely cannot multitask.
That's also, I also believe that multitasking is a myth that a man probably invented. So I don't really think we can do it either. But we are really good. I call it logistical wizardry.
Yes. That's all you're putting.
Most women are really good at logistically masterminding everything. So it might seem like we're doing lots of things at a time. We'd know, but we're just good at planning them consecutively after each other. But doctor, today we want to talk about women's health. And again, like I said, I feel a lot of when it comes to women's health is that sometimes we're really, like me, completely missing Women's Day on Saturday. That's sometimes, I think, one of the reasons why things get lost. We just don't have the time to fit in going for checkups, taking care of ourselves, and making sure that we are, you know, because a lot of things can be managed or avoided if we make the time to go and get it checked out and catch it early and know about it. But yes, that's part of the topics today is what do we need to know about. So there's lots of things, and even I now know what most of these things are, but I do have to say, like, I remember very clearly that a friend of mine, she gave me a little endometriosis awareness thingy, And I had no clue what it was about. And then I went to go read about it. But it was much later in my life, embarrassingly enough, that I found out about endometriosis as well as PCOS in the end of the day. So let's start with that, because it's not the same thing either, that I also probably embarrassingly found out way too late in my life. What let's start with it. What is PCOS? What is endometriosis? And what's the difference?
Okay, let's work a little bit backwards, because there's something that you mentioned which is central to this whole thing. I think a lot of women normalize certain things that are not normal, like period pain.
Yeah.
So let's start with.
See, but it is really like we just deal with it.
Yeah.
We just don't have the time to deal with it.
So one of my pet peeves is young girls coming to me and for something else, and actually what their main problem is that every single month, it's once a month, they miss school because of the period pains. And that actually segues nicely into endometriosis, because the word for it, the medical term for it, is secondary dysmenorrhea, which just means period pain as a result of an underlying cause. But then one of the main causes is actually endometriosis. And endometriosis is a condition where your endometrial lining basically grows where it shouldn't. So it grows outside of the womb. It's quite fairly common. It affects about 1 in 10 women, so about 10% of women of reproductive age actually experience it. But the thing is, it's up to about 60% of women with severe period pain have endometriosis. It's not normal, and it affects every aspect of a woman's life, including much later your ability to have children. But the main thing is that it can be quite debilitating. And a lot of women stop working, get depressed. So it's associated with depression. You can imagine if you are experiencing pain every month, can be quite depressing.
Yeah.
And the real reason is no one believes that you have this pain to begin with. It's not like cancer where people will be like, oh, pain, you know, you have cancer, we understand. But for you, it's like, oh, she must be lazy, you know,
yeah,
missing work every month. So that's the endometriosis. PCOS is slightly different. PCOS actually.
Before you get there, though, I just wanted to, for layman's terms, also put it into perspective for people, because you're using very fancy words, which is great. But the uterine lining, in essence, is the lining that's the period that comes out of your vagina. And it usually has to come out through your, like, the normal channel. But now the lining is forming outside of your uterus, and literally that lining doesn't know where to go. It doesn't go out, come out normally, and that is what's then causing this severe pain when you're, because literally there's crap that needs, it's like poop, but your poop hole is closed.
Yeah.
No way. It hurts. Like crap.
It'll hurt.
Yeah. And that's not a normal thing when it comes to that. And that's, I think, but again, it's very, a little bit of pain though for period is normal, isn't it? Like, you know, like I feel like I can almost tell you, like, a lower back pain happens for me, like, I literally sometimes wake up 5 a.m. in the morning and I'm like, my period is starting. And it's like such a familiar kind of lower back feeling. It's not, I don't know if pain is the right word, but it is painful. It's discomfort.
Discomfort, yeah. I was going to say, actually, I think you touched on an important thing, because maybe we must define what abnormal period pain is.
Yeah.
And if you need more than one pill to control your period pain, that is not normal. That's one.
Okay.
If you are missing activities of daily living, going to school, going to work, not being able to go and buy your groceries, that is abnormal.
Yes, so but more that... on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've only joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting and motherhood and life in general, I guess, but today specifically, because we're celebrating Women's Month, we're talking about women's health. And my guest today is Dr. Tatu, and he's such an expert in women's health. Even though I feel like we were talking about endometriosis, and we were talking specifically about what is normal pain, what is not normal pain. And you said if it takes one pill to sort it out, then it's fine. That's normal. But if you have to take more than one pain pill to sort it out, or you can't function normally during the day, that is not normal. That is not normal period pain. And then you need to get to a doctor and sort this out, because that is not normal. So now the next question is, what is PCOS? What's the difference between endometriosis and PCOS?
PCOS is totally, totally different. So PCOS actually stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's a terrible name for it. But the reason it's named like that is because the doctor who first discovered it first noticed that you have a lot of what looks like small cysts in your ovaries. So now we know that those small cysts are actually follicles where eggs grow. So it's like eggs. Too many eggs. Yeah. So it's not actually cysts. It's normal follicles. It's just that you have a lot of them. To actually say that you have PCOS, there's a few things that you need. It's not enough to just have many follicles. You also need bleeding abnormalities. So it causes bleeding abnormalities. So when your menstruation either takes a while to come back, or sometimes comes a little bit regularly, or you don't have 12 cycles a year, so you have 8 or less in the year. And then the other thing is having too much male hormones, which means having a little bit of a beard, a little bit of a mustache, or hair growing in other places, like the chest hair, abdominal hair, so basically anything that's going to increase your male hormones. But the thing about PCOS is that actually it is not just a gynae disease. So it affects your whole body. So it affects your glucose metabolism. So it increases your insulin, which comes with its other problems. And it causes lots of hormonal imbalances from our side. But obviously that affects the rest of you. And big thing is that it can be associated with a lot of weight. And a lot of people like do a lot of exercise and you're not losing weight and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm trying everything. But sometimes it's just because of the underlying condition that you have, because it, as I said, it affects your glucose metabolism. So that's a problem. So it affects every part of your being, PCOS. Yeah. And you can't get rid of it. It's you can manage it, but you'll still have it. And it'll, depending on where you are in life, so it'll affect your women of reproductive age different from your menopausal women.
Yeah.
In menopause, then there are other issues that can increase certain cancers and things like that that one has to manage all throughout life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good
thing. And I mean, it is, like I said, completely different. Again, a little bit embarrassing that I only realized all these things. But I also didn't have any issues. But I mean, kind of for me, an underlining trend that you're mentioning throughout is your period on its own is quite a good indicator of your, let's say, reproductive health or your health as a woman, for instance. Wow. So if you're... Let's talk about what should it look like, a normal cycle and a normal period, and when should you start being like, hey, this is not normal. Like, I mean, because you were now saying irregular cycles, heavy flow, those type of things, painful things. So what's a normal period and cycle, and when should you be like, hey, this is not normal, I should seek some help?
So good question, by the way, because a lot of people actually think that like periods follow rules. It's not true. There's a range. Okay. So there's a range of normal. Remember that everybody's different from the next person. So normal, we would say the whole cycle, and a cycle means from the day you start menstruating until the next time, the day before your next menstruation. So that's a whole cycle.
Yeah.
Usually it should last between about 25 to 35 days. Okay, between 25 and 35 days. Should have minimal symptoms associated with it. Most women don't actually experience any symptoms that is associated with it. The bleeding should not be heavy. Okay, so it means for the most part, we usually use pads, and we say it should be about 3 or less pads in a 24-hour period. Obviously, the higher it is, the more abnormal it is. But also, it should last about 7 days or less.
Okay.
Of bleeding. So that's the bleeding part.
Yeah.
That's about a normal period.
No, and I mean, it's also like, I feel also, I mean, it's good that you're saying like there's quite a range, I feel, on that as well. And I also feel personally for me, it's changed over a period of time as well, from when I was young and when I'm now in my 40s, early 40s, I'm 41. early 40s, then I feel no symptoms. I feel now that I'm in my 40s, the symptoms are actually, especially PMS, I get a headache only once a month just before I go on my period, which I never get headaches. So as soon as I get a headache, then I'm like, okay, it's coming. And like I said, lower back pain. And I can track it relatively good. I've got a Garmin tracker that tells me, hey, it's coming. And then I'm almost, it's sometimes a day or two out, but it's quite regular and it's not very long. Whereas when I was younger, I also don't know if I'm now tracking it. Maybe it was as predictable, but I've always had very predictable periods my whole life. But the period of how long it was much longer when I was younger. I would say it was more 5 to 7 days, and that's not that long anymore. So is that also normal that over time it changes?
Definitely. So the reason it's changing is because unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but over time your hormones also change.
Yes.
So, for example, the estradiol level goes a bit up and down. Obviously, you have more eggs when you're younger, so your estrogen levels are quite good and it's high, and your skin is tight because of the estrogen. And then you get a little bit older, and now you're not having as much estrogen, and it's going down, and you're not reaching the peaks of estrogen that you used to. The skin is starting to get a little bit wrinkled, and your period, you're not bleeding as much because your lining isn't growing as much, as you rightly put that the bleeding is actually you shedding your lining. So if your lining is not as thick as it used to be when you were younger, obviously you're going to bleed less. But that's just a function of age. You're 100% correct with that.
No. And because I'm now getting into the perimenopausal stage of my
you're
life.
On your way there. Let's just say you're on your way there. You're not there yet.
What does that entail then? I mean, that's from the beginning of 40s. It sometimes starts. There's also a whole phase before you actually get to menopause.
Yeah. 100%. So most people think menopause is an event. It's not an event. It's more like a phase.
Like a funeral.
A journey to it. So you're right. You correctly said that usually after the age of 40, your hormones start going down. And that's just because you're starting to deplete the number of eggs that you have available. So remember that women are born with their eggs. So over time, that bank of eggs that you're born with obviously decrease as you ovulate your eggs and et cetera, et cetera. So from about 40 onwards, then you start seeing a decrease. Eventually, you're going to stop growing eggs, which means no more estrogen. Then at that point, we will say you are menopausal. So actually, the diagnosis is we make it in retrospect. It's not an event. So we'll say, okay, you haven't menstruated for a year. Oh, and you're 50. Oh, you're menopausal then. But for about 10 years before that, you were slowly heading towards that.
Yeah, moving in that. It doesn't go to full on baby making to no baby making. It's a process.
Yeah, it's not full on. No, definitely.
Yes. Now, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And we're talking today about women's health and the various things that go with it. And clearly also me oversharing and also sharing my own experience thus far with various things, which is good. I think that helps to give us a little bit perspective that we're all here and women. Today, my guest is Dr. Tatu, and we're talking about these various things. If you've missed a show, do not stress because it is available on a podcast afterwards that you can go listen to. So please go have a listen to it. Now, now I'm talking a lot about because I'm also a little bit interested in the perimenopausal phase and whatever. But I mean, there is also, like you said, there is a stage, and I mean, we're talking here specifically about parenting, and now I talked about and becoming a parent in that essence as well. And I mean, endometriosis and PCOS can actually have an impact also on our fertility and our chances of falling pregnant. What is the management? Because, I mean, already when you were describing the endometriosis, obviously we need the lining inside the womb for the fertilized egg to attach and grow properly. Am I right? Am I saying it in the right way?
You said it perfectly.
So if this lining is growing outside of your womb, obviously it does make it more difficult for the fertilized egg to grow.
Not just that. Okay, so let's talk.
Sorry, explain.
Let's talk standard egg biology first. So to fall pregnant, you grow an egg, and then that egg gets released. So you ovulate that egg, and then sperm comes and fertilizes that egg, come together, form a little embryo. This is happening now in the tube.
Yeah.
That little embryo now grows. As it grows, it moves back, and then it will implant in your lining, in your endometriosis.
Yes.
Endometriosis affects basically all of that, because if, say, you have endometriosis in your ovary, then the environment in the ovary now is changed slightly. So it might affect now the quality of the egg that you're going to release. The egg might not grow as well as one would expect. Fertilization might be a little bit harder, but not just that, because now the endometrium is now next to your tube. So each month there's inflammation there, so then you end up with blocked tubes. Then the sperm won't be able to get to the egg to begin with. But not just that, it also now affects your lining itself, because now because of the endometriosis, your whole inflammatory and genetic sequence now changes a little bit, because now your body is now adapting to this thing that's there every month, irritating it. Now your inflammatory markers are increased. So now when it's time to implant, because implantation is an interplay between so many different things, including your inflammation. So now your endometrium now is not as receptive to being implanted anymore. So implantation doesn't happen. So endometriosis basically affects all of that.
So it's a very difficult to fall pregnant when you have but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Actually, a lot of women who have endometriosis do fall pregnant.
Yes.
But in the same breath, a lot of women who struggle with infertility also have endometriosis.
But falling pregnant is now one thing. What about how successful is the pregnancy when you have endometriosis?
Once you're pregnant, actually, you have a good chance of having a baby.
Okay.
But there's one different entity which we haven't really spoken about, which is adenomyosis. Adenomyosis is basically endometriosis of the muscle of the womb. So instead of the lining growing outside of the womb, it's growing in the muscle. Then you give it a good, it's the same thing, because it's also not supposed to be in the muscle.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be
in the muscle. Even, that sounds even more painful to me.
Yeah, it causes more bleeding though, because you bleed a lot, because during your cycle.
It still goes through the normal channel.
Yeah, so you bleed a lot more. But that one can now predispose you. There's been studies that show that it can increase your chances of having miscarriages early on, et etc. But for the most part, once you're pregnant and you have endometriosis, the chances are you'll have a normal, healthy pregnancy and delivery.
Okay. So when you now suspect, first of all, that you, if you realize your period is not good, obviously then it's needed for you to go to a health professional. What would be the, what do you call it, the treatment then for endometriosis? Do you have to have surgery?
No. That's a good question, because a lot of people come to us expecting us to say, okay, you're going to have surgery.
Yeah.
Ideally, let me say this, in an ideal world, you should only have, that's if you're going to have surgery, only have one surgery, one great surgery of endometriosis in your entire lifetime.
Yeah.
A lot of women also do not need endometriosis surgery, because remember, okay, so the treatment is, there are basically two big groups of treatment options. One is the surgery, okay, fine, we'll talk about that. But the biggest one is actually medical. So if you're young and you're not trying to fall pregnant and you're having painful periods, we can manage your period, your endometriosis by managing, in inverted commas, your period. Because you can imagine, if we give you certain hormones to stop you from menstruating, which means your lining doesn't grow, but that also means the endometriosis shrinks. It means the endometriosis doesn't grow. Then it's great, because first, your endometriosis doesn't progress, but also you've managed the pain. There's no pain, you're fine. But even combined contraceptives also help manage your endometriosis. And the reason for that is that, remember, your endometrium and your endometriosis is under hormonal control. So if we can control the hormones, essentially we can control the endometriosis. And there are different, lots of different options on the medical side that we can do to do that. And, I mean, we go all the way up to giving you medically induced menopause. Since we're talking about menopause, I'm just tying it in there. But usually most people don't need to go that far. We just give you hormones, control the pains, control your cycle, and also stop the endometriosis from progressing.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And it's been such a great conversation. I've just been telling Dr. Tatu he has to come on again. Really, honestly, I don't even think he prepared for this. He just knows this stuff out of his head, because he deals with it so much. And the passion that you talk about, even though you're not even a woman, you know so much about us. You're clearly a fan.
I'm a fan.
but it's really you know so much. And also, I mean, just this discussion, and often that's, I think, with women's health, like I said, I think often a big part of it is that we normalize certain things too much, that we're saying, you know, missed period's not the end of the world, and a heavy period is like carbs, and pain is like, you know, we normalize certain things. We also don't take care of ourselves, even when we notice stuff like this. It takes us sometimes a while before we're like, okay, seriously, I need to go to a doctor to see this. This is not normal. That's also one of our biggest flaws. But also, we don't really talk about, you know, but I mean, even from the Bible times, period was seen as like bad and like you're not pure and I don't know what all. So I think we've been kind of like, hush, hush, don't talk about it type of thing. And that's why I'm honestly and openly talking about this to help to normalize this thing. And my point, what I'm trying to make is that PCOS, and when we hear these things, PCOS, endometriosis, it's a scary thought when something is not normal. And I think that's also part of it, why we partly ignore it, because we don't want to worry about that aspect of it, because it has such far-reaching consequences. But you have also given so much hope for it, because these things are also manageable. And again, if you're from young, deal with your endometriosis and you get the right hormones, you're saying like it's actually going to be helpful in the long run. And that's the thing. And that's now my next question, because I mean, we've realized, because endometriosis is a completely different thing. We're not talking here about. But now with PCOS, when you're the eggs on, it's not cysts on the ovaries, it's eggs, you said, that's growing on the ovaries. And this is often also associated with irregular periods because it's now on the outside and it's not going down the way it should. I assume that's part of the reason of it. And weight gain, the hormones, that's like more manly than womanly and things like that, obviously also has. How do you manage that? That also sounds like now, okay, this is difficult to get pregnant when you have PCOS.
It can, but it's not that the hormones are more manly than women. It's just that because a lot of people come to me and then I say, no, your male hormones are increased. It doesn't mean that they're male.
I wish I would have more testosterone. You know how that would help my running?
Unfortunately, no woman will reach. So even at that point, the level is still lower than that of a male, but they're just slightly increased.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're 100% correct. So the management, the way to think about it is what are you trying to achieve? Okay, so it depends. It all depends. So if you're trying to fall pregnant, the thing to do now is to try and help you grow the eggs. Because remember, because you have so many eggs, they're like in competition, then you end up none of them growing. So none of them ovulating. So you don't ovulate. Then you have an ovulatory cycle. So the thing to do is to get you ovulating. And there are medications for that. So we can get you ovulating. Then once you start ovulating, one, you'll have regular periods. But second, we can tell when your fertility window opens. So we can now time and say, okay, this is now the time to try and fall pregnant in this window. Okay, so but if we're trying now to control, for example, now the manifestations of increased male hormones, like a beard, because some women have beards, etc., then we can now give you, starting off, different medication to control that. And the easiest thing to do, again, there it is, combine oral contraceptive, so it's hormones again. So we give you hormones to control your male hormones, so to decrease your male hormones. If the point is to get you having a regular period, again, we use hormones to do that. So it all depends. It depends on the individual. It depends what you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to fall pregnant, we do that. If you're trying to get regular cycles, we do that. And so many things. If we're trying to control your insulin, that's also important because sometimes we need to control your symptoms. I mean, your insulin, then we have to now give you a different drug to control your symptoms, which is anti-diabetic drugs, but not as hectic, but anti-diabetic drugs, just to control that. That will also help you lose weight, etc., on that front.
Okay, because now the other thing, and that's the word I can't pronounce, it's the one where the lining is in the muscle.
Adenomyosis, yeah.
What is that going to be a similar, because it's close to endometriosis, but it's not the same thing. Would that be a similar kind of management then to deal with it?
Exactly. So it would obviously, it for me, I mean, it's just us, I guess, the medical field trying to complicate things, but it's the same as endometriosis. It's just the site that's different.
Yeah. And so I think for me, again, a big part of this is that it's not a hopeless situation. And a lot of the management will definitely depend on where you are in your journey of, if you want to just manage it, there's one thing. If you want to fall pregnant, there's another thing. And then afterwards, I assume it also depends a little bit on your journey. But I mean, for me, that's also, again, we want to talk about these issues because it can have an impact on your fertility, of course, and if you are managing it in the right way, because I feel sometimes that's also a thing, is that sometimes people just tell you, if you relax, you're going to fall pregnant. And I mean, I get it, because I do think if you're stressed out, it's not going to help the situation, but it's not always that.
In fact, the rate of infertility are the highest they've ever been throughout history. And it looks like they're only getting worse.
And I mean, I want to ask you now a question, because a lot of this stuff, when you're talking about PCOS, and I mean, for me, any, like, if you say hormones, I have to say, like, in my inside, if you're telling me I have to take hormones, it freaks me out a little bit, because I feel like my body is built in a certain way and it needs to work in a certain way. But obviously there is a hormonal imbalance when it's not working 100% the way it should. And luckily we have smart people that have figured that out for us. But like I said, it is very, for me, scary, the idea of, like giving hormones and, dealing with the hormones.
With that. And I think it's not unfounded. I think it's a fair fear. I think it's a fair fear.
Okay. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show is coming to a strong end. And it's been such a privilege for me and such a great conversation talking about women's health and the hope that it's brought to, like, just normalizing certain things with health and knowing what your period should be like and dealing with and knowing when to get help as well. And that there is help. That's the best part of it. There is actually a lot of things that you can do. And like with lots of things, we need to realize that the reality is that I feel early intervention is always better. The sooner you know, the sooner you can deal with it. And that you shouldn't suffer in silence. We need to talk about the fact what is normal and what is not normal. So please, please, please always share your thoughts and interactions. But on that note, Dr. Tatu Maoto, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you. I've already in the ad break said to him, this is needs to happen more, because it was such a wonderful, informed and open discussion about women's health topics. And there's a lot more to discuss in detail. I feel like we've only like touched the tip of the iceberg here, but it was very informative. So thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to our next discussion. Michelle, I don't know, or maybe Dr. Maoto, where can people find you guys?
I'm based in Pretoria, Family Care Fertility Center.
Yes.
Femina Hospital.
Yes.
I'm also at Steve Biko Academic. I do sometimes go to the public sector because I feel like that's when
on the show.
you need to help and teach.
Yes.
Others. So those two hospitals is where I'm based.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yolandi, then you can just, he didn't give the email address. So if I can just give you an email address.
Yes.
Which is reception@femicarefertility.co.za.
Yeah. And you, honestly, if you've got any like issues with regards to this, I can't tell you guys that how, I mean, you can hear that he absolutely knows what he's talking about. And I'm pretty sure it's not the only doctor there. But please don't, if you are wondering or struggling or anything, please make, please get into contact, because you don't have to suffer in silence. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was really, really, really wonderful talking to you. On that Bye. On that note, like I said, unfortunately, another show has come to an end, and it was absolutely a great show. If you've missed it, luckily it is available as a podcast on our website, hivefm.com, for you to go listen to. I feel like even I learned so much about women's health and what is not normal, what is not normal when it comes to your period and when you need to start worrying and when you need to. It was wonderful. So please do go listen to that talk. Next week, another great show. I'm going to be talking about hydrotherapy next week and the benefits of water and hydrotherapy for our babies. So please don't hesitate to contact me. In the fact that I partially missed Women's Day this month, I wanted to just remind all the women out there that you contribute to this world in sometimes small ways, sometimes big ways. And don't underestimate the value that you are bringing to the world. We are amazing beings and amazing to society and necessary for society. Don't see your emotion as a weakness. Remember that it's a strength. Don't see your physical, because we're not as strong physically as men, but don't see that as a weakness. See that as a strength. I think in the society we live in, we don't need to be that strong anymore anyway, because we are emotionally super strong. And remember, the key and the foundation and for society is being kind. And please, that's the best example we can give our children. So let's go all out there today and just be kind. Until next time, have a wonderful day. Bye.